I want to encourage Pastor Jay. It's good to see he and Tammy here this morning, but Pastor Jay didn't know what the message was that I was going to preach, or that I am going to preach, but self-talk is an actual phrase right in my message. But I want to ask you a question in light of this song. What does your self-talk have to do with that? Does it match? Does it match? Come on, can you be honest with me? How's your self-talk lately? You doofus! Pastor Carl and Pastor Sherry blessed me immensely yesterday. They found a great file cabinet at a great price at a place just down the street from me. And they called me and said, Kev, do you think you need it? I said, you know, I think I do. So I came up and they helped me get it back to my office, and I've had appointments, you know, and then so I quickly thought, well, let me set this up first. I have to change things around. And I don't know if you've ever tried to set things up quickly when you're pressured and you're in a hurry. It doesn't always go quickly. And so once I moved the other table, of course, I completely unplugged my phone line to my fax. And so then but you have to understand, it's chasing down the line. So then I chased down the line, and then I had to pull out other tables to get to it, and I jerked out the phone lines to my other phones. And then I looked down, and I could not reach to the phone line because it was behind some other file cabinet. So then what I decided to do is, well, I've got to move these file cabinets out. So I'm moving all the stuff out from my desk. I'm moving these other file cabinets. I can finally get to it, and the part that you put into it is broken. It just won't fit in there. And then I realized, okay, it's not broken. I can fix this. But I must confess, I wasn't Mr. Peaceful at that moment. I'm moving everywhere. And it was a good thing nobody walked in. Have you ever thought that? Oh, thank God nobody's watching me now. And Jesus is saying, you? I mean, I was so frustrated. I went into the bathroom. I knelt down. Somebody calls me right now and says, I got something great for you. I'll say, no thanks. But it was a blessing. And so I thought, you know, Kevin, you're just going to have to get a grip here. And so I went out and finished up the job. And my office looks better than it's looked in a long time. Vacuum cleaner dusted. I mean, there were dust bunnies that had been there for a couple of years, so they had to go, you know. And so the Lord says, see, I know what's best. But my self-talk then becomes, you jerk. What's wrong with you? You doofus. You can't get this right. You're in a hurry. Look what you did. No. Look what he did. And so I came back under the blood of Jesus. I repented. Yeah, it's okay. You don't have to walk out. I repented. I asked the Lord to forgive me, and I realized there's still some more work yet to be done. Oh, God, do that work. Conform me to your image and conform my words to what you've done. Now, this is the second of a series on Gideon. Last week was a heavy week. We talked about Gideon and Midian, because Gideon and Midian had to set us up for where we're going in here. And last week's lesson from Judges chapter 6 was all about the repentance necessary. You remember Israel was caught in sin, and because they'd walked from the Lord, Midian had been dealing with them for 7 years. You remember Judges chapter 6? Midian was coming every year at harvest season, stealing the goods, stealing the harvest. They were encamped, like the Bible says, like locusts on their fields, and they would ride in on camels. And the commentaries will tell you that those camels can travel 100 miles in a day to go wreak havoc in a place and do some warfare. So these were fast-traveling nomadic tribes that were just literally running Israel through the ringer. And it was because repentance was needed. Now, how many understand that not every dealing in your life is a sin issue? All right, not very many hands. How many know that most of the dealing in your life is all because you're in sin? How many know that? No? Okay. I'm just trying to see if you're awake here. All right. It's not all because of sin. Sometimes it is. And that's when the self-talk becomes like, you stupid. But it's not always. What is always important, though, is for us to seek God if there's something going on in our lives. To say, okay, Lord, if you want to deal with me, but I surrender. And so we have that need as we went through the first 10 verses, first 11 verses of Judges chapter 6. But how many know that God's not just a God who deals, He's a God of deliverance? Come on, I said, how many know God's a God of deliverance? Turn to each other, say, He loves you, and He loves to deliver. God's a restoring God, and the Bible tells us if we repent, He delivers. Judges 6, verse 12 is where we'll pick up the story. Judges 6, verse 12, and we see that sin and the devil have nothing good in mind for you, but God restores and delivers. Verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Look at each other and say, the Lord is with you, you mighty man or woman of valor. Now that's the kind of self-talk that'll do you some good, right? The Lord is with me. I'm a mighty man of valor. The Lord is with me. Say it with me. The Lord is with me. What do you think of yourself? Does what you think agree with what God thinks? Gideon needed to change his mind. Gideon needed to change his mind. Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 27, verse 19. As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. Or the NIV, a man's heart reflects the man. What are your actions? Your actions spring from a heart that believes certain things. What do you see yourself doing? What do you believe about who God has made you to be? If you are in the Word of God, which is what we really encourage and exhort everybody to be in every day. If you're in the Word of God, you get a new picture of yourself. You get to picture what God pictures about you. And your self-talk begins to change, and it becomes God talk. How many would rather have God talk going on? So what God says, you carry out with an obedient spirit, or at least more quickly. What do you say to yourself when no one's around? What we need to do is live the Word of God, love the Word of God, read the Word of God, declare the Word of God, share the Word of God, pray the Word of God. Remember, word in, word out. Change your thinking. Lord, help us hold on to your facts. God is with you. Fact number one for Gideon. God is with you, but I don't feel like that, God. And he still says, I'm with you. Now, I want you to remember where Gideon was. Go back to verse 11, would you please? Remember where Gideon was. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Now if you let the scripture come alive, I see a sense of humor from God here. You know, it's kind of, the angel came down, just going to watch how Gideon's handling things for a few moments. And Gideon isn't handling things very well. Where is he? Where is he? He's inside the wine press. How big's the wine press? How big's a threshing floor? The threshing floor is up on the top of a hill where they throw the wheat up and the chaff gets blown away by the wind. It's out in a bigger open location. But they're scared to death of the Midianites. So Gideon's only got a little wheat in a little wine press, being threshed by a little man. What do you think Gideon was seeing? He's full of fear. The Midianites are out there. I don't dare go up the hillside. He's probably ashamed of himself. I should be up there. I belong up there. And let me ask you a question. How much do you think there was wind to blow the chaff away down in the low part where he was in the wine press? How much wind do you think was there?
Very little.
So Gideon's throwing up wheat. And where's it landing? It's coming right back down. Yeah. Throw it up, come right back down. Any feel like your prayers are ever that way? Yeah. Throw it up, come right back down. It's crashing. How many would like wheat and chaff on your neck, getting down your shirt, getting down? Oh, it's frustrating. It's hot, and he's probably doing this too. I belong up there. That's right. Get in, you belong up there. Little bitty vision. Little bitty man. Not able to do much. Got to live with my circumstances. Little bitty. God says just the opposite, church. And this morning's message is called Living Large. Living Large. God says to you this morning, I have called you for bigger and better things. Prophetically. We're not trying to do this ourselves. The prophecy said, it's God's calling. It's what God has done. And let your self-talk change to be God talk. Live large, Gideon. I've called you for a great purpose. God is with you. The Lord is with you. Emmanuel in the New Testament, right? God is with you. You mighty man of valor. Do you know what that phrase means in the Hebrew? You mighty man of valor means literally, Gideon, you mighty warrior, you mighty tyrant, you. How many think Gideon was feeling like a mighty warrior in the little wine press? Look at how he sees himself. Remember, we've seen this over and over in the Scripture. Remember, Abram, God changed Abram's name to what? Abraham. To become the father of a multitude. How many know his name beat him up for about 20 years? His name proclaimed what he was going to do, but he didn't have the fruit to show it, did he? God wants us to live larger with his vision than what we're doing. And the wine press was at the foot of the hill. They carried the heavy grapes downhill to the wine press. They carried the wheat uphill so the chaff would be blown away. And here's Gideon down at the bottom. No air. Frustration. I'm in the pits. I know I'm called to live higher than what I'm living. Come on, church. I know I'm called to live higher than what I'm living. Anybody ever felt that way? God's called me to do something, to reach out, to do something, but I just don't feel like I can do it. So I choose an alternative, and I get bound up, and I'm not free in that alternative of my choice. I'm not obeying God. I'll choose what's right in my own eyes, and then I get bound up. And I wonder why I'm not free. Remember, Jonah had a call on his life, didn't he? Go to Assyria. What did he do? What? He went the other way. And what happened? He went fishing. Or actually, the fish got him. He lived in a whale for a few days. How many think Jonah was bound up by his choice? Ever been bound up by your choice? How many know that God can deliver you? God wants you to live larger than what you're living. God's got plans. God's got bigger things. I'm not saying you have to go out and be Reinhard Bonnke and save 1.2 million people at one time. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about when you're in your neighborhood, that neighborhood is moved by the presence of God. When you're in your house and with your family, Jesus lives inside of you and there's the presence of God in your family. When Dean goes to a funeral, haven't seen people for 40 years or more, the presence of God walks in that room when Dean walks in that room. There's something different about you because Jesus Christ lives inside. You can live larger than where you're living. Someone say amen. Amen. Oh God, I want to get out of my self-talk and I want to get into your God-talk. But Gideon needed to change his mind. Time to change your mind. Number two, Gideon needs to change what he sees. Judges 6, verse 13. Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord, say it with me please, has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now that's gut-level honest. Do you think God can handle your honesty? Yes, He can. But here's what his belief is. A wrestling match with God. But God. God says, I'm with you, you mighty man of valor. And he's saying, but God. You're not here. I don't feel like you're here. I don't think what you're telling me to do is going to work. I'm not being blessed. And God's saying, you know, Gideon, you need to redefine reality. You need to redefine what you see. The Lord has forsaken us. The Hebrew word means the Lord has smitten us, pounded us, beaten us, and rejected us. Anybody ever feel that way? The meat tenderizer of the Spirit in your life? Bam, 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 bam. Oh, I just feel so loved. Circumstances don't always leave you feeling loved. But God always loves you. How many know that God still loved Israel even though He was dealing with Israel? God still loves you and me even when we're being chastised or when we're going through tests. Truth is what God says. You know what I mean? Truth is what God says. Listen to the scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. Therefore, out of the New King James, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look, please say this phrase with me, would you please? While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. Things which are not seen are eternal. Out of the Message. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without His unfolding grace. That's powerful, church. Not a day goes by without His unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here, Paul says, than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever. Limited vision leads to living small. I can't. But the Bible says He can. I can't do it. But the Bible says He can through me. Got to change what you see. Change your vision. Change your expectancy. Number three, Gideon needs to see God's call in spite of himself. In spite of your circumstances. See God's calling on your life regardless of what you see about you. Change your expectancy. So again, we've talked about changing your mind, changing your vision. Now we're going to deal with change your expectancy. Verse 14 of Judges 6. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours. What might? Go in this might of yours. You shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Just a minute, Lord, Gideon could say. Don't you hear I just objected? Don't you hear that I don't think you're with us? Don't you hear that I think you're judging me? Don't you hear that I think it's not favorable in my life? God is saying, I'm seeing your vigor. Okay. You're all being really polite here this morning, but anybody ever get agitated and frustrated? And what does that look like? Okay, you don't want to spend a long time talking about it. Is that right? But you're glad, like we said, you're glad nobody sees it. But you know what? There's something burning inside of you. There's a passion inside. There's some frustration inside. There's something inside that says, I've got to get this differently than I'm living it right now. God says, I see that. Go in this your might. Change by what I'm saying. I can work with you, the Lord says. Say with me, Jesus can work with me. It's not over for me. I'm not too far gone. The Lord loves me. And He's with me. Turn to each other and say, live it larger. Go in your vigor, go in your force, your capacity. That's what that Hebrew word means. You objected to me, Gideon, with strength. That tells me you've got strength. Go in that passion. Go and change your mind. Live at large. Live the calling that I've given you. There's something bigger that I have for you to do. Watch verse 15 and 16. So he said to him, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Come on, that's way beyond me. I can't even get my car started. I can't get my wheat out of the wine press. And he says, indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Moses said, I can't talk. I can't speak. I don't want to do it, Lord. I don't even like those people, Jonah could have said. I don't like those Assyrians. I don't want to. God says, I love them, and I want them reached. Go live larger and give me away. He says, my clan is the weakest. The Hebrew meaning for the word weakest is, he's literally saying, my clan is dangling, weak, and thin. Lord, we're just barely hanging on. We got nothing. Nothing, honey. I've got nothing to give, no depth on the team. And then he goes to himself personally, and I'm the weakest of them all. I don't have the credentials. I'm not a good enough family. I'm not rich enough. I'm not smart enough. And in this congregation, some of us might say, I'm not young enough. Come on. Some of us might say, I'm not young enough. What can God do with me? I'm the least. I'm little. I'm young, ignoble. I'm nobody, God. My family's no good. I'm no good. I haven't done anything big. I don't qualify. Verse 16. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat. Say that verse with me. Come on. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. I can't. And God says, I can. Now, I want you to tell me, look carefully at that verse. Tell me what's not in that verse. Faith can't sound in the verse. That's true. What else? What's not in that verse? No condemnation. Okay. There's no conditional in that verse. This is what God says He's going to do. It doesn't say, if you go do this and this and this and this. He says, I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites. God says, you need to change your expectancy, Gideon. Change your mind. Change your vision. You need to change your expectancy. Don't look at what you see. Live by my word. It's time to start living larger than you're doing. Lift your vision. See the bigger picture, Gideon. Change your mind, your images. Change your vision, what you see. Change your expectancy. And now Gideon needs to believe God. Basically, Gideon needs to change his beliefs. Judges 6, verses 17 through 21. I'll read verse 17. Then he said to him, if now, Gideon says, I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign. How many are going to condemn Gideon for wanting to see a sign? Not me. Anybody in this room ever want a sign from God? Please, if you want me to do this, please let me win the lottery. If I've now found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it's you who talk with me. Gideon now prepares an offering for the Lord. He sets it before the angel, to see if it's really God talking to him. God doesn't chide Gideon for wanting a sign. We want them too, and he'll ask for one again. God has been working on this man's images. Now he's after his core beliefs. Gideon, it is really the word of the Lord to you, and it's time to believe it. Gideon tests God. And in a few more verses, which we'll get to in the next couple of weeks, God's going to test Gideon. But Gideon tests God first, and God passes the test. And then he says, okay, Gideon, I'm going to test you. So he deals with our images. He deals with our beliefs. He gives us a test in order to prove that we can pass that test. And then he gives us new images and new beliefs based on that experience of living larger and seeing God do it. And it gives us bigger tests to pass. How many know that you can pass whatever test God sets before you? In your own strength? No. Based on Him being with you and in you. Based on God talk. Based on knowing that God is good who has promised. He loves you. He wants you. He wants to deliver you and help you live larger. God. The angel burns up the offering and disappears. Now, it's kind of like us. Instead of all of a sudden being encouraged, and he concludes, God is with me. Isn't that cool? His first thing is, oh my gosh, he's going to kill me. You know, so God has to convince him further. Isn't that what we do? God comes through. God does something, but he never quite does it good enough. Come on. Can you be honest? God didn't do it good enough for me. He knows exactly what we need. Gideon is full of fear, believes he's going to die. And our God is so gracious that he comes to him in verses 22 to 24. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, say it with me, please, peace be with you. Do not fear, You shall not die. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is... Come on, say it loud. The Lord is... The Lord is... God gave Gideon peace in the midst of the Midianites. God gives us peace in the midst of the storm. They didn't leave. They were still in the land. There's still some battle coming. But God is meeting with Gideon and changing him moment by moment. How are your images? And what are your beliefs? How about your self-talk? And what has God called you to do? When you go home today, what neighbors are on your heart to reach as you obey the Lord? When you go to your neighborhood, do you understand that you bring the presence of God? Live larger. Turn to one another. Say it again. Live larger. The Corinthians were a people who loved Jesus. They were hot to trot. They were passionate. They were not coming behind in any of the gifts. And they're zealous. And Paul had to bring a couple of letters to bring correction. Listen to some scripture. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 12. I'm going to just read it out of the message. Watch this. Companions, as we are this work with you, we beg you, please don't squander one bit of this marvelous life God has given us. Say it with me. I've been given a marvelous life. God reminds us, I heard your call in the nick of time. The day you needed me, I was there to help. Well, now is the right time to listen, the day to be helped. Don't put it off. Don't frustrate God's work by showing up late, throwing a question mark over everything we're doing. Our work as God's servants gets validated or not in the details. People are watching us as we stay at our post alertly, unswervingly. In hard times, tough times, bad times, when we're beaten up, jailed, and mobbed, working hard, working late, working without eating, with pure heart, clever head, steady hand, in gentleness, holiness, and honest love, when we're telling the truth, when God's showing His power, when we're doing our best setting things right, when we're praised and when we're blamed, slandered and honored, true to our word, though distrusted, ignored by the world, but recognized by God. Terrifically alive, though rumored to be dead. Beaten within an inch of our lives, but refusing to die. Immersed in tears, yet always filled with deep joy. Living on handouts, yet enriching many, having nothing, having it all. Now watch. Dear, dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this, please say it, really boom it out with me, this wide, open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Look, watch the last line. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. Our lives aren't small. God created us. Glorious day. He went to the cross of Calvary. He died. He was buried. He rose again. He washed us by His blood. He's redeemed us for a purpose. We're ambassadors of reconciliation. We are new creatures in Christ, and we're called to live large. He didn't create us small. But we get bogged down in life, and we live it small. Sometimes. He's with you, O mighty man and woman of valor. Time to start living large. Now let me talk to you and then close one story about how large our God is able to live and help us live. A missionary on furlough told this true story while visiting his home church in Michigan. While serving at a small field hospital in Africa, every 2 weeks, I traveled by bicycle through the jungle to a nearby city for supplies. This was a journey of 2 days and requiring camping overnight at a halfway point in the jungle. On one of those journeys, I arrived in the city, where I planned to collect money from a bank, purchase medicine and supplies, and then begin my 2-day journey back to my home and to the field hospital. Upon arrival in the city, I noticed there were 2 men who were fighting, one of whom was seriously injured. So I took the time to treat the one for his injuries, and at the same time, I talked to him about the Lord. I then traveled 2 days, camping overnight, and I arrived home without incident. 2 weeks later, I repeated my journey. Upon arriving in the city, I was approached by a young man the young man that I had treated. He told me that he had known I carried medicine and money. He said, "Some friends and I followed you into the jungle because we knew you would be camping overnight. We planned to kill you and to take your money and drugs. Just as we were about to move into your camp, we saw that you were surrounded by 26 armed guards." At this I laughed. And I said I was certainly all alone in the jungle that night. The young man pressed the point and he said, "No, sir. I was not the only person to see the guards. My friends also saw them. We all counted them. And it was because of those guards all around you that we were afraid and we left you alone." At this point in the sermon, one of the men in the congregation jumped to his feet and interrupted the missionary and asked if the missionary would tell him, please, the exact time, the exact day that this happened. The missionary told the congregation the date, and the man who interrupted him told him this story. "On the night of your incident in Africa, it was morning here. I was preparing to play golf. I was about to putt when the Spirit of the Lord urged me so strongly to pray for you, and it was so strong, I called the men of this church to meet with me here in the sanctuary to gather together to pray for you. Would all of the men who gathered with me please stand up?" The men who had met together to pray that day stood up. The missionary wasn't concerned with who they were. He was too busy counting the number of men he saw. 26. Live larger. God can do more than what you think He can. God can do more with you, in you, and through you than you're letting Him. And that I'm letting Him. God wants to move, and you're not too senior, you're not too young, you're not unqualified, and when you're covered by the blood of Jesus, you're not disqualified. God has a plan. And church, we're here in the kingdom for such a time as this. How many want to live larger for Jesus Christ? Would you stand with me, please? Can you agree with me that you're a candidate for the Lord to move? Can you agree with me that God's going to do something in your life today, this week? Two of you. All right. Raise your hands, would you? Lord, into your hands we put our lives. Lord, we're not here to be chided this morning. We're here to rejoice in the good news. You are with us. And by your strength and by your cleansing blood, we are mighty men and women of valor. We thank you, Lord, for how you ministered to Gideon. And we thank you, Jesus, for how you want to continue to minister to us and through us. And we rejoice and we commit ourselves, Lord, to living larger. Say it with me. I commit myself to living larger for the glory of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here this morning and the Lord's spoken to your heart, I urge you, let this be a day of rejoicing and a week of rejoicing, because God loves you.